Now we will progress to the next topic of discussion, which is essentials of designing and writing of job advertisements. Now, as you understand, whether it's internal or external, it's all important to convey communication about this particular job requirement. So a job advertisement basically entails the process of promoting your need or requirement to the outside world. Now, the outside world may be beyond your department. So if you are a manager and if you've sent that job, you know, you filled that job requisition form and sent it to the recruitment department, the human resource department, they need to publish it in the form of an advertisement. If it's internal, they will publish it, you know, on the job board, on the site, or, you know, they will publish it on the intranet, or they will simply create a small poster and they will put it on the board, physical board. If it's external, they will circulate it to their network of consultants, their network of agencies. So what is of paramount importance is how to articulate, how to design, how to write an effective job advert or a job advertisement. Okay, and this process is definitely the best way to persuade the right applicants, and it helps us sort the deserving candidates from the average ones. In this, you need to present your company in the best foot or the best light, as well as accurately describe the position and its role within the organization. So this is the communication part that I had mentioned, you know, before describing these two specific bullet points. So if you communicate properly your need, if you promote your need properly, okay, you will get the requisite candidates. There will be a right fit or a right match. If this is not done properly, then you may not get it. It will be a waste of time doing a pre-screening, a telephone screening, or an interviewing of the candidates. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we bring preciseness? So preciseness is brought by these elements. The first one being the job title. So when you are putting a job advertisement, whether it's internal or external recruitment, which may happen, ensure that the professional title is put at the top of the ad. For example, you want a Java developer. So need for Java developer, experienced Java developer with 5+ years of experience. Need strategic account manager with 10+ years of experience. Need R&D scientist with 8+ years of experience. Need learning and development professional with 12+ years of experience. So if you notice, this is a clear and a precise job title, okay, which can be identified in the professional world. The next, of course, if it's featuring as a part of a newspaper, a LinkedIn advertisement, something given to the consultants or the recruitment agencies, has to feature the name of the organization. So after knowing what the job is, the applicant would like to understand which company would they be working for. Would that be Amazon? Would that be Accenture? Would that be Sybage? Would that be BMW? Would that be Mercedes-Benz? Which organization would they work for? Would that be, you know, a Hindustan Lever? What is the organization? Next is the job description. Now here you would need to explain to the incumbents what does the job include or entail. For example, an R&D scientist would, you know, have doing research and development work, looking at standards, evaluating certain processes, correct? Developing certain formulations. All these would be a part of the R&D scientist's work. If it's a Java developer, developing certain code lines, being proficient with, you know, certain aspects of Java, like Java Swings or any other module which they are trained upon in Java, correct? So the next point would be ideal candidate description. So here the organization is responsible of creating a sort of a picture where the candidate will understand whether I am matching or fitting the experience or the need of that organization. So it's time to let the potential applicants know exactly what you want out of them. So this will be the candidate description. This is nothing but more explanation apart from the job. So this may include elements like, we need somebody who is enthusiastic. We need somebody who has leadership potential and can demonstrate that on the field. We need somebody who believes in the power of collaboration. We need somebody who is just not a manager, but also has experience with extracurricular activities. We need somebody who's got a background of promotions. So apart from the core description, they would also need to describe the personality related aspects, the attributes or the characteristics of that candidate. A candidate who believes in the values of any organization that they work with can be another ideal candidate description. So here, I have identified many which of course resonate with these points as well. So highly motivated and results driven, see. So are they motivated? Do they have internal drive to do something? Do they need a push, or can they bring in that push by themselves? So if they are self-driven, if results matter to them, if they get motivated, those are the ones which we need. Another one can be excellent communication, presentation and time management skills. So can they communicate well with the clients of the organization across the value chain? Can they present data and information clearly? Do they have those skills? Are they, can they manage themselves with respect to the available time? Can they prioritize? Can they organize? Can they plan? Can they schedule themselves? Are all these particular things which come under the heading of time management skills. As I said, do they possess enthusiasm and energy? So are they energetic individuals? If they are required to work extra hours, can they cope with that? Can they cope with the rising pressures, the changes that happen? Do they possess sound judgment and decision making? So can they make decisions in a sound manner? Do they have the ideas, or do they have the right kind of ability to make sound judgments? Highly numerate with superior analytical skills. So do they have critical thinking and analytical thinking skills? Do they have clear higher order things, skills which they can relate to their job while making decisions, while solving problems? Can they articulate clear solutions? A commitment to outstanding customer service. So if the business is into customer service, like for example Amazon, okay, like Indigo, like Accenture, like Microsoft, like many of the organizations which consider customer service as the keystones of their business. So does this professional or individual have that level of commitment? And of course, certain things like eye for detail, attention to detail, a good planning, a good planner, all these elements can be the ideal candidate description apart from the job description which I had mentioned. So apart from these, I had also mentioned a few more points which can be used to put into the job advertisement, so that the candidate can look at these points and say, okay, I fit these particular brackets, these criterion, and I can apply for a job here. So of course, essentials of designing and writing job advertisements also include elements like the salary package. So we are continuing from the previous slides. So the salary package, of course, is a very important aspect, and this is one of the main make or breaks for a person to join or not. So most people scanning a page of ads, they tend to gauge their suitability for the role. For example, let's say now the salary has a variance as per the job roles. For example, a new software developer, what he or she is offered will be very different from what an experienced research scientist will be offered, correct? So they will be able to see the salary package and understand, okay, it is good enough for me or it is not worth my effort. The next is the layout. So a simple job ad is an effective one. Yeah. So people today, they tend to skim the job ads. They don't tend to go into the depths. And of course, it's not just the newspaper, it's the online newspaper, it's LinkedIn, it's Naukri, it's various job boards which tend to offer multitude of job advertisements. So a quick skim is useful for prospects. So it has to be a very simple yet an effective one. So ads that are plainly written and clearly formatted are easier to read and will enable job seekers to quickly assess their suitability. How to apply? Make sure the method of application is clear. So this is also very, very important. So where to publish? So we've discussed various nuances of the job advertisement, leading it to become more effective. So in India, there are various job boards. There are Naukri.com, Times Jobs, Shine, Indeed. Of course, you can have it published in the local newspaper. Social media recruitment is very popular currently. Places like Facebook, Twitter, and more often, or primarily LinkedIn, which is business networking, are the places where your job advertisement can be published. So usually, in this, LinkedIn is a very good and a relevant platform where job advertisements are published and they are also answered to. Let's now look at the steps involved in filtering the job applications. Now, of course, this entire chapter is revolving around the process of setting filters, setting funnels, and of course, progressing from the basic recruitment generation to the selection process. So over here, the main or the major criterion for successful shortlisting is identifying which essential and desirable qualities matter most to you. Now, of course, the candidates will publish a plethora of qualities and attributes that they seem to possess. Now it's your job to put filters in order to make them more relevant and suitable to your job requirement. So in this, try to be flexible. Remember that if you take too many people out initially, you may miss the best candidate for the role. So here, what we are indicating at students is to develop a sort of a balance where you neither become too critical, neither you invite more people go to the next round of the filter. So you have to have a balance where an appropriate number of people are screened and are sent to the next round, so that you neither have too few, neither do you have too many in the next round. So many companies, they make the mistake of using lots of buzzwords that don't necessarily translate into anything practical. So if you've noticed in the last few slides, the desired attributes. So don't have 20 odd attributes so that it becomes difficult for you eventually. So have a few clear 6 or 7 desired attributes where those can be matched by the aspirants. So again, it's important to be balanced so that during the entire hiring cycle, you have the appropriate number and the right quality of candidates. Now here we look at a few important aspects which relate to creating those funnels or filters. One is evidence of competencies. So what sort of competencies do they have related directly or indirectly to the work? This can be college education, university education, which is a key competency. If it's a management role, then have they qualified with the right amount of percentage from those colleges? Professional experience, only relevant for some roles and can include on-the-job training. So for example, let's say you need 20 people who are diploma holders for the job of operators. So over here, you will require only some specific educational needs, but that experience will be very important. So have they worked on those CNC machines? Have they worked on you know, spindles, have they worked on motors, have they worked on an assembly line, correct? Because these are some hazardous jobs, risk-inducing jobs. So do they have, so even if there is not enough college education, do they have experience in this particular field? Professional qualifications, years of relevant experience of the candidate. So if it's a job which entails, you know, some very high risk or a high hazard or very high accuracy. So for example, let's say it's a very senior operator or a supervisor job. So do they have those years? We cannot just invite a person with 2 years. It has to be a person who's got 10 years. Can they relate their experience? Can they tell us what are the shortfalls? Can they relate some of the practices, best practices that they've gained? And of course, educational qualifications, which comes from the CV. So the next step that is there is to start with an idea about the number of candidates that you want to interview. So this will give you a proper picture and tell you how much you need to deviate from your ideal criteria with your available applicant pool. So what we mean by this is, of course, everybody loves to go by the book, but then we need to create a balance by also using our experience, by using some instinct. So is there some space to wriggle around, to be flexible? And this will be given by the number of candidates that you want to interview. So let's say if you want to be creative, yet you want to be methodical, and if you're looking at a pool of 50 people and you want to select 10, so there is some space out there. But if you only have about 20, then there is less amount of space. The next is set minimum criteria is stage one. So set your educational, professional qualifications and experience minimums, which we have discussed in the previous slide, and produce a list of candidates who meet the minimum criteria. So this is an ideal filter if you see. So let's suppose, you know, educational qualification is an M.Tech. Now this is a senior position, which is entailing management as well as it entails such work in a manufacturing setup. So M.Tech is the educational qualification. Professional, of course, since it's a managerial position as well. So probably some 15 years of experience. Okay, so that's a minimum. Professional qualification is maybe they also need to possess certain, you know, TQM certificates. They need to possess certain industrial certificates for operating certain hazardous and high value machines, and of course they need experience, which like I've mentioned, okay, so from their vast experience they need at least 8 years of experience operating such machines. So if you are able to cull out or derive this minimum criteria, it becomes easier. So the rest of the candidates do get filtered without much of compromise. The next step includes excluding the inconsistent applications, and this will become your stage two of the filtering or the funneling process. So over here, if you've observed people who have an inconsistent, a lack of clarity and a vague history, they will move out. So although they fit the stage one, they will be filtered because of these particular aspects. Even a job change, like imagine at this position, if there is a job change after every 1 or 2 years, then the aspirant may not be somebody whom you would like, because in your organization for such a role, you would like a person to stick at least for a good 4 to 5 years, if not more, correct? And of course, post this stage, stage two, we come to the final stage of filtering, which is the last stage filtering. So if there are still too many interview candidates in your shortlist after stages one and two, you can begin to filter them through the desirable non-essential qualities for the job. So the desirable non-essential qualities would be those qualities which can happen on training but are not available with them currently. So those people who have them currently can move to the next stage. Those people who do not possess them can be eliminated at this particular stage itself. Of course, the next one is the interview. Now, there is a complete chapter which is dedicated to the interview process, where we will see the various aspects of the interviewing process. So here it's a part of our filtering through the job applications. So once you have shortlisted, as much as possible, the interview should be designed to affirm your shortlist criteria. Now, what is affirm? It is to confirm whether you are right in your previous steps, and also to look into personality fit. Now, what might be a personality fit? We've been discussing this. Let's walk through an example. So let's say a particular job requires a person to remain calm, to possess patience, and to offer solutions to others in times of crises. Now, when you put this sort of a person in a problem, in a simulated problem, and they demonstrate similar behavior to what is desired, it's a personality fit. If they violate, if they deviate from the behavior, then it's a misfit. So somebody who is required to have that fit and does not can be eliminated in this. Thus, expectations and other checks to evaluate the applicant's compatibility is done over here. The next part is be flexible but stick to your criteria. So this is again a repetition of a point which we had discussed earlier. So a person who is seasoned or who's a veteran in recruitment and hiring, for them it is impossible for a candidate to satisfy all requirements. Now, this particular bias or a central tendency bias does come into picture where people miss out. So for seasoned professionals, for seasoned recruitments, it is okay if there's a slight digression or a diversion. One of the qualities, especially ones which can be trained upon, or there can be a flexibility. So this can also be considered for those deserving candidates. Of course, last but not least, conduct the shortlisting process in stages. So before we close this chapter, let's cover this important point here. So it's important, it's prudent that there is an initial shortlist based on easy to identify essential criteria. If you have a large volume that can be delegated to another team member, you would likely to do that. So once the final shortlist is complete, then carry out additional stages to refine the list further. So we have discussed this in detail in the previous slides. So students, in this fashion, we have completed successfully chapter number 2, where we have expanded on the process of selection. We have seen the 7 important stages for this particular process. We have also worked in a detailed manner on discussions related to the pre-screening and the screening processes. We've also seen telephonic screening, and I have also customized this for the current times by discussing with you the online screening that would happen with the help of Teams, Cisco, Google Meets, and Zoom. We have also discussed these essential steps that were required to fulfill the criteria and create a clear match or create a clear fit between the needs of the job and the aspirants that show up. Thank you.